Sorry, Jimmy, I wasn't thinking ahead of time, so I'm stealing this. You can have it back next service. Although I've been told I'm short, so I'm going to stand up here. Well, good morning, church. I'm Mary Michener, and if you've been around a while, you've seen me here before. If not, I have a long history at this church, but I also work and teach at Bethel University, and I work with a women's ministry called Best Life Ministries. And when Pastor said, here's what I'd like you to do on Sunday, it's the joy of forgiveness. I'm like, I got this. I teach forgiveness all the time. I teach it in one of my classes. I know this. Then I read this psalm. Did you pay attention? This is the hardest part of forgiveness, at least in my mind. So as we walk through this today and you start to feel this kind of nudging, uncomfortableness, as things from your past start to roll through your mind, things maybe you've done that you're still carrying around, that's God. He's nudging you today to lean into something that might not be all that comfortable. And our tendency, at least my tendency, is if I'm being asked to lean into something that feels uncomfortable, I really want to do this, right? I want to push it away. I want to put it back in the closet. I want to get rid of it. I don't want to know it exists. I'd rather not deal with my own stuff than feel uncomfortable. But today's going to challenge us in that. And I'm going to ask you to let God challenge you. Let God push you in those directions. Lean into that feeling of uncomfortableness, if that's even a word, rather than push it away. Because as the psalm says, there's a lot of great things at the end. There's freedom. There's healing. There's meaning that comes out of suffering. There's so much that comes when we're willing to lean into the things that are difficult. So that's your challenge as we walk through this morning. Are you ready to take it? I know it's early. You can at least nod. Okay. Well, I want to say something about the version that was read, because we all have, like, our Bibles are all different versions. Mine's an NIV. This was NRSV. And this had a funny word at the end of every phrase. It said, Selah. And some of you are going, huh? What does that mean? And so I'm just going to tell you so you know. It means to pause, to take a deep breath, to sit with it, to absorb it for a moment. So when David wrote this psalm, this poem, he was inviting you to just go and soak in it, which my NIV version doesn't have. But this is a psalm you want to soak in. This is a psalm you don't want to brush over. And you may have picked up on some of it as we read it through the first time, but it's really one you can't even just read once. You need to read it again and again. And I think you need to understand where David was when he wrote this psalm, because that makes the picture bigger. And I like God to be bigger. I like the picture nice and big. I want to know the details, right? I want to know what brought David to this point where he is asking God for forgiveness, where he's confessing everything, and I mean everything, to God. Well, at this point, when he writes this psalm, he is the king of Israel. And you know, the story of David is like chapters and books long, and I'm going to do like a sliver of a sliver, okay? So at this point, he's done the whole David and Goliath thing. He's become king, and now he's king of all of Israel. All of it. And he's known as a warrior and for conquering. Well, at this point, he decides to become an adulterer with Bathsheba. Conceives a child, and then has Bathsheba's husband murdered. You think he's got a few things to confess? So he's writing this out of that pain. He's writing this really after the prophet Nathan comes to him and points out the pain to him that he caused. And as he starts to really lean into it and embrace it, he realizes how awful he's been. And so much so that he lists these various types of sins. Did you notice that? There were some really strange words in this psalm. There was iniquity, transgressions, sins, deceit. Why would he use so many different words? Well, because they all have a little bit of a different meaning. And so I think they help us get how big of a picture it is. When he says to confess your sins, confess your transgressions, he's not talking about, oh, I may have offended somebody yesterday. That matters. I'm not placating that. But he wants to make sure you get down and dirty with God, that you get into the details of what's going on in your life. So iniquity means bent and twisted. It's just a little not right. Or it could be a misunderstanding, but it could be like you really misunderstand everything about this in a way that's bent and twisted. Does that make more sense? Then there's transgressions, which is literally to rebel and rebel against authority, to rebel against God. And you have sin, which is to miss the mark. And then you have deceit, which is deliberately deceiving someone. That becomes a really big bucket of things to bring to God. And here's the beautiful thing. As soon as you bring it to God, God forgives you. Just like that. That's all it takes. But you see, there's really two parts to the psalm and what we're being instructed to do. There's the confess all our sins, get really raw and honest and humble before God. But then we actually have to receive his forgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at that. I like to carry around the guilt. I like to think I'm not worth it. I like to think that really that's for other people who didn't screw up so badly. But the joy that David found, that joy of forgiveness, comes when we actually receive it. When we allow ourselves to forgive ourselves. See, this was the hard part I was talking about. At least this has been the hard part for me. I can confess to God everything. I know he already knows, and so I can lay it all out there. I can write it in my journal. I can put it out there. But then I hold on to it and continue to think, I'm still guilty. I'm still guilty. I'm still guilty. In fact, I was so good at this that I have journal pages about it. And there was a time several years ago when I was really struggling. And if you're a parent or a new parent, maybe you haven't figured it out yet as a new parent, your kids got to get a little bit older. But as a parent, there's this thing called parent guilt, or I call it mommy guilt, where I feel responsible for everything for my kids, right? And I made promises to myself, to my kids, and to God that were never going to happen to my kids. They were never going to be hurt. They were never going to be hurt by somebody else. They were never going to be a victim of anything like I had been. Well, guess what? I failed. Failed miserably, in fact. And that was weighing very, very heavy on me. Both of my kids one of the examples. Both of my kids experienced some significant bullying. And it took a long time for my son to even feel like he could bring that to us. And I was mortified. How could he wait so long to tell us? How could we let this happen? How could this go on for months? And I started to beat myself up about it. And I took it to God. I wrote it in my journal. And I'm like, oh, God, how do I get over this? How do I let this go? And at some point, after several entries, and really months of trying to process everything that I was feeling guilty about as a parent, I think God had enough. And he kind of said, would you just let it go? And I, in the way that I do, argued with him. But I feel so guilty. I feel so guilty. I'm his mother. I feel so guilty. What could I do differently, God? What could I do differently? And this particular moment was one of those, and if you haven't had one, I hope God gives you one, where you're just surrounded by the Holy Spirit. And there is no question in your mind who you're talking to and who you're writing to. And there's no question in your mind what's happening at that moment. And so as I looked at him and said, I'm his mother. What could I do differently? I'm so guilty. The response was swift and quite frankly like a kick in the gut. He said, no. You're his earthly mother. I'm his father. I let this happen and I'm responsible. There will be healing. Ouch. Ouch. And then God said, read Isaiah. Why Isaiah? So I go to chapter, and I can't remember if it's 53 or 55. Sorry, I didn't double check my facts. But it's that chapter where Isaiah predicts this brutal, violent, horrific crucifixion. And God said, I did that for you. Who are you to not accept what I've offered? Ouch. Ouch. God was very clear. And this psalm is very, very clear. God says, you are mine. You are mine. I choose you. I choose you. I didn't do this for any other reason but for you. And as we're in this time of Lent, it's so easy to just kind of jump to Easter and forget the power of the psalm. The pain that David cried out. The pain that we carry in our hearts. And forget that God is there saying, I'm right here. I choose you. Every day, every time, I choose you. Will you let me? And it's up to us to say yes. I will receive that. Yes. I don't want to carry the weight of this burden around anymore. Yes. I will let it be at your feet and nowhere else. And be free. And the truth is, that is what happens. That is what I got when I finally got it. Yes, I have a thick skull, and it obviously took a lot to get through there. But that's what I got. I got that peace. I found meaning in my son's sufferings. And my guilt was absolved for that point, at least. I can't say that I haven't been there again. But we get what David talks about. We get that joy of forgiveness. We get that peace that surpasses understanding. We get the freedom that comes with accepting the forgiveness that God offers us every time we ask. In that moment, it's the gift. Let's pray. God, as we come before you this morning, we know that things in our hearts aren't always exactly where you'd like them to be. We know that you call us to lean into the things that we've done wrong. And quite frankly, we don't want to because it hurts and it doesn't feel good and it's scary. But Lord, you offer us something that no one else does. And it's freedom from that pain. It's a peace that comes with the forgiveness that only you can offer. And so as we come this morning, Lord, we ask for that. Humbly, truthfully, honestly, we bring it to your feet. So that you would take it in this moment. And that we would receive the gift of your Spirit and of your Son in Christ. That gift of healing, of peace, and of meaning. We ask all this in your name. Amen.